Log Talk Radio.
Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I'm predestining you before the world began to do my will. To do my will. Tell God yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really going to tell God yes, come on. Make it personal. Lift your hand. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life. say yes. Will your spirit say yeah, yeah, yeah. There is more that I require of you. So let your heart and soul say yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you right now, Father. We worship you right now, Father. We begin to magnify your name right now, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. With your heart and soul, say yes tonight. Yes to your will, Father. Yes to your way, God. Yes to your plan. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your design, Father. Hallelujah, God. We thank you tonight. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just say thank you, God. We will come higher, God. We surrender our all to you, God. We come to a place of surrender, Father. We throw our hands up and Holy Ghost arrest, God. We say have your way in our lives, Father. Father, we begin to thank you right now for saving us, for sanctifying us, for filling with us with your Holy Spirit, God, for separating us from ourselves and separating us from our own thoughts, wrong patterns and mindsets, God, and giving us the mind of Christ. As your word said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Tonight, if you just feel good about God tonight, begin to just tell him hallelujah. Tell him thank you for fresh blood running warm through your veins. Tell him thank you for the activity of your limbs. I mean, it's just to be here tonight, just to be here, everyone on the sound of my voice, I praise God for you. We just begin to bless him. We bless the Lord. Some say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh God, I thank you right now. Oh God, I praise you and I worship you, God. I thank you, God, even for Tuesday, God, you allowed me to see 45 years of life, God. I thank you, Lord God, and kicking, God, more days, God. I thank you, God, right now. We don't retire, we refire, Father. And we say yes to your will, God. We say yes to your plan, God. We say yes to your instructions, God. We say yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, there's a yes in our spirit tonight. There, yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She said, if I have to give up some relationships, but my soul say yes, I might have to give some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul say yes. He said, you mean the world to me, Lord God. You're the most high, God, and the foremost thing. And that's why I can say yes. I can say yes, God, because you mean the world to me. I can say yes, God, because you're the all in all. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the awesome knower. My brother Quaid always say, God, you're the best knower of all. You know better than anybody. And even the song says, he knows what's best to me, although my weary eyes can't see. So, God, I say yes, God, yes to your plan. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We thank you tonight. We give you honor tonight, Father. We give honor to Omega Ministry, the founders of Minister Jesse Store and his lovely queen, Evangelist Tammy Store. I give honor to my queen tonight, Evangelist Maria Flynn. I give honor to the Apostle Rosa Honor and Pastor Warner and all the others in their respectful places on this line, all you ministers and evangelists and all you leaders and everybody that's here that plays a role in this ministry of reconciliation back to the Father and repairing of the breach. We just bless you tonight. We thank God for you, and the next voice you'll be hearing will be none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint, giving us words of inspiration. So prepare your hearts to receive what the Lord has given her to share with us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God on tonight. We're just grateful to be here. We thank God for all that's happening, all the blessings, all the miracles that God is performing. So God is saying tonight, I hear his whisper. He said, wait on me. I have seen your love, your desire to please me. Many times you have chosen me above all else, and I am pleased. But you are growing weary. You have waited upon me, and I said, keep waiting on me, and I will not disappoint you. What you call delay, I call preparation. Many times I am at work behind the scenes, yet you cannot discern it. I will fulfill my word, and your eyes will see the miracles of my hand. Psalms 13:5-6 says, Lord, I have always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. I will yet celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. I will sing my song of joy to you, the Most High, for in all of you, of all of this, you have strengthened my soul. My enemies say that I have no Savior, but I know that I have one in you. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord God, that we could trust and depend on you. And we give you glory, honor, and praise on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we thank you, God, that we can depend on you, Father. We thank you, God, that we can trust in you. And we begin to praise you and worship you and magnify your name. So, God, we just begin to thank you. We praise you, Father. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, God. We come praising you and worshiping you and magnifying your name, honoring you, God, because you are the magnificent one that you are, God. You are awesome. You're magnificent. You're wonderful. You're holy, Father. Tonight, Father, we decrease and let you increase and let your Holy Spirit have complete control of the service, God, complete control of this lesson that you are teaching your children and expressing, God. You put some things on my heart on Sunday, God, to share. And that's what we are, God. And we begin to thank you for it. God, we praise you and we worship you and we magnify your name, Father. So at this hour, Father, that we decrease now, God, and you increase, that the Holy Spirit have complete control, God. It's all of you and none of us, God. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. So tonight I want to, God, it puts some on my heart. And the topic, you know, we use the topic, it will be, it's okay with me. But then I want to say on my birthday, on Tuesday, one of my brothers in the faith called me and he said, brother, you have a topic for your blog talk? And I was like, he said, when do you get started? I told him, usually, man, as soon as God hit me with it. But he was like, because God never gave me sermons. He just gave me a topic and scripture and we go from there and the Holy Spirit take over. But he gave me an idea and he said, here's what God, he said, God shared him about your fruit and it remaining. And he said, God, what's this for? He said, give it to George. He'll know what to do with it. So tonight we're going to talk about the fruit, but I want to start off in the first chapter of Psalm. So if you got your Bible, we go to the first chapter of Psalm, and we're going to go there. And after that, we're going to give a couple of definitions and some things that God has. So, I mean, it's just going to be just a really good teaching lesson tonight. So just put your thinking caps on and let the Holy Spirit lead you. But the first verse says in 2nd chapter of Psalms, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I want you to, you know, if you're reading and you got your Bible in front of you, get your highlighter, highlight the word ungodly. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's look at this. First of all, let's look at the word blessed. Blessed means what, ladies and gentlemen? It means all things are well with that person. So he's saying all things are well with the man who walks in, not in the counsel of the ungodly. So let's look at one thing. They look at walks. So we're going to look at walks and we're gonna look at ungodly. And so what God has given me for the definition of ungodly, he said, the ungodly man is not concerned about religion or salvation. He's neither zealous for his own salvation, nor for that of others. And he counsels and advises those with whom he conversed to adopt his plan and not trouble themselves about praying, reading, repentance. He said, there is no need for such things. Live an honest life. Make no fuss about religion or salvation, and you will fare well enough at last. But the scripture told us what? Now blessed is the man who walks not in this man or woman's counsel, who does come into their measures, nor act according to their plan. So that's what the first verse in Psalms 1 tells us. Then we look at some other things, and I'm just going to give you some references. I used to deal with a woman, and prior to my wife, and she was like, I do good deeds. I'm okay. I don't have to be saved. I cry when I watch the little African children on TV. I sow seeds, and I do these things. And see, that's what the ungodly man will tell you. You do your good deeds, but you don't have to come all the way in. I mean, look at Oprah. And we're going to talk about the absurdity of certain things. And you look at what Oprah had a show. She showed you guys how to be a philanthropist. She was always giving stuff away on TV, showing that I ate. And that's the thing with most Luciferians. That's the thing with most Satanists. I mean, so you show I can give certain things away. I can give you gifts. And I can let gifts pervert your judgment. So when I give you certain gifts, you're thinking that I'm all right. And I'm moving, I'm going all together. But sometimes the person that think they got it all together, don't they have it all together? So that's why God's saying, don't worry about what they are and what they're walking in and what they're doing, because who is to say that that is the righteous way? So we're telling you, listen, they don't even care about the things that you care about. When you just said yes to your will, God, yes to your plan, yes to your way, yes to your instructions, they're not thinking that. As I told you, the ungodly man is not concerned about religion. He is neither zealous for his own salvation, nor for that of others. So that means he's not even caring about you being saved. Yeah, I'm going to help you with something. So God said, listen, all things are well with that man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The next part tells us what? Nor stands in the path of sinners. So let's talk about what are sinners. Sinners, he said, have their particular way of sinning. One is an addict, another dishonest, another a murderer, another unclean, another is a pervert. Just those things. He said, few are given to every species of vice. Everybody doesn't have the same vice. But, you may have a point where the drunkard despises the pedophile. The pedophile may despise the murderer, and so on and so forth. Each have their own easily besetting sin. Therefore, says the prophet, what? Let the wicked forsake his way. And the scripture tells us again, now blessed, now all things are well with that man who does what? Not stand in the path of sinners. But we bring us to the next one, it's the scorner. It says, what about the scorner? Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So what is the scorner, Brother George? It says, has brought in reference to himself all religion and moral feeling to an end. He is sat down and makes a mock at sin. His conscience is seared, and he is a believer in all unbelief. He is a believer in all unbelief. Now, blessed is the man who does what? Sits not down in his seat. So all is well with the man that does not sit in that seat, or the scornful. So here's what God is saying. If you turn to Psalm 73, this really helped me a lot. When you look at the things, you look at how the wicked prosper in their way, and it seems as if they're prospering. It seems that they're getting away with something. It seems that all that glitter is gold. Sometimes it makes me want to be a member of the brown grass club, and I say that because we think the grass is green on the other side till you get there. But Psalm 73 says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? See, look at that. Tell me what is that. You see how that goes. That's an ungodly man, that's a sinner, and the scorner all wrapped in the one. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. So that's going to make you feel that way. But here's what I want to encourage you, because sometimes we can see the sinner prospering that way, and whether it's in the entertainment industry, whether it's in corporate America, whether it's in politics, you can see different things. You're like, oh, man, they seem like they got it so good. And but hear what God said. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until what? The 17th verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And understood I therein. Hallelujah. See, God said, listen, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Think of that sixth verse. If you go back to Psalm 1, verse 6, it says, for the Lord, he said, let's go to the fourth verse. No, the fifth verse said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. 17th verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Then it says, surely thou didst them in slippery, didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. See, God, you know, they made them think they got that way, thinking that way is prosperous. But God said, okay, I will bring you to a bitter end. He said, how are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise that image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, because so foolish was I, ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou hast guided me with thy counsel. And thou hast received me to glory. See, here's what, the other day my wife, we was driving, it was Saturday, and we were listening to a man that, it was an interview about a young man at when he was in church. His mother was a witch, and she ran the Sunday school of the church. It was a Baptist church. And he was saying how stuff was occultic and everything else. But he said when she died on her deathbed, he said she didn't, you know, when the devil came, when that, the angel of death, or however you want to call it, came to get her and let her know it's your time to go, how she knew she was going into a place of torment. And he just said she was just so not at rest, screaming and everything. It was a lot of screaming before she left, a lot of screaming. And then, you know, she was gone, but there was a lot of screaming, like she didn't want to go. But that's what happened. When you know that he's going to bring you into desolation as in a moment, they said they are utterly consumed with terrors. So here we're talking about will your fruit remain. And so I got to go to Galatians, and then we'll go to John 15 and 16. But let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and understand a little bit about your fruit. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we look at the fruit. What is the first one? Is love. And then the next one is joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. When we look at these things, and look at when we surrender ourselves and our plan and our purpose to God, his plan to not to God, but to the enemy, as we give up and join forces with the ungodly man, with the sinner, and with the scorner, we see that the fruit that God has given us with the fruit of the Spirit, when he said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to put these fruit in you, then guess what? Our fruit no longer remains. You still, only one fruit you have left is long-suffering, because the enemy loans, they suffer long as well. So when you look at these things, you're like, okay, am I really being what God desired me to be? Am I really walking in his plan? Am I really walking in the life that he set up for me from the beginning? So you look at John 15. Let's just look at this one verse, the 16th verse, right? He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So we look at it and say, he's telling you, I'm commanding you and I'm charging you that your fruit remain. But we always can find something else with our eyes. He said, that's why we all are pulled away by the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. These are the things that will put us in a position where our fruit is in jeopardy. And so watch this. Here's the next verse. Let's look at the third verse. He said in Psalm 1, the third verse says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But look at this. That's what I said, that brings forth fruit in its season. And when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at one time that Christ got angry. And if you really thorough Bible readers, you can really relate to what I'm about to say. But he got angry at a time when he looked at a fig tree. And he looked at a fig tree, and there was no fruit on the fig tree that did not show up in its season. So then Christ said, hey, since you don't show up now, no man will eat off you ever again. So do you want God to say that about you now, that since you're not bringing fruit in your season, and so nobody else will be fed from you again, because he told you to reproduce fruit from the seed of your own kind, reproduce seed of your own kind, and that's that fruit. So if it's not the fruit of righteousness, then it's fruit of unrighteousness, and God is not going to allow you to continue to lead the blind, leading the blind, and you're leading them into a ditch, not his people. So not when he's giving you a calling, and we know that gifts and calling come without repentance. So now we got to make up our mind and say, hey, am I going to allow this enemy to have my gifts? Am I going to allow the enemy to take what God, my talents, and what God has given me to glorify Satan? Or I'm going to take what God has given me in its season when my leaf will not wither, and whatsoever I know that I prosper, because he said it. He gave me the command to go, and your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. He's given me a commandment. He's given me a charge. And all of that, I know many are called, but few are chosen. But he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you for an appointed work. I chose you for an appointed time. And now it's the season, now it's the hour. He said, and then I told you what I appoint you for. I appoint you that you should go and bear fruit. You should go and take this word to those that don't know about me as their Lord and personal Savior. You should go and show love, because you may be the only Christ somebody may ever see. You may go and be joy. You may go and be long-suffering. You may go and be peace and gentleness and kindness. You may go and exemplify what it means to have self-control. You may go and say, hey, the God gives me peace that passes all my understanding. When they're looking at you, when they're watching, you got to be that representative that they're looking at and saying, why has he not blown his brains out yet? Why hasn't he given up? Why don't you just cuss your God and die? But you still stand firm. You still standing firm. You're showing them that I serve as Abel. You're like the three Hebrew boys that stood in the midst of the fiery furnace and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we're no answer you at this time, but here's what we'll say, that the God that we serve, even if he doesn't, don't mean that he can't. Even if he doesn't, don't mean that he won't. But even though he does not, see here, this one, we stand firm. We put our chests out there. We're not going to bow down to you. We're not going to serve you in any form, any fashion, because he put something inside of us. It's called staying power. And so we stay with him, and we stand in him. And in the midst thereof, he's able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. He's able to deliver us from your hand. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, you begin to tell Satan, hey, I serve a God that's able. He said, now him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or think according to the power that works in me. See, that's the fruit that he put inside of me, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of joy, the fruit that's saying, I know a God that told me that don't worry about persecutions, don't worry about accusations. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? The Lord shall deliver him out of them all. I serve a God that's a deliverer, and that's why I know his name. He is, I am because he is. I am delivered because he's a deliverer. Oh, God, hallelujah. I am set free because he said he that the Son sets free is what, ladies and gentlemen? Definitely free indeed. That's what I can say. I can say I'm healed because he healed my body. He touched me. That's what I'm saying. He touched me. He looked me on it, and he touched me. And now I know. And now I know. Hallelujah. Then it took a verse and said something happened. Something really happened. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, he touched me, and then he made me whole. See, that's what you can say to me. God touched me from the crown of my head to the very sole of my feet, and he made me whole. And I look at Christ, and I look at his fruit, because I'm a part of his fruit, because he's the tree. You know what I mean? And the branches, we're the branches, but the fruit, hallelujah, the fruit of righteousness. And he said, unless the seed falls to the ground and die, it can't come forth and bring forth fruit. It can't bring forth anything. So he had to go out and die, but so he can bring forth. And now you and I are representations of the bringing forth. So let it remain. He said, I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Then David began to talk about, he said, he shall be like a tree Let's read it from the beginning all again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we said what the ungodly man is. Nor stands in the path of sinners. We went over that. And nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. So now let's get into the law. Let's get into the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? What is the word? He told us first thing, you can hang this on the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And begin to love the Lord thy God with all thy might, all thy power, all thy strength. He said you can hang that up on the law and the prophets. See, because when you love and when perfect love perfected, and when love is perfected inside of you, love knows no ill will. Love does no harm, and love seeks no bad for others. Love. And that's why he said at the last commandment, he said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Begin to show love. Begin to walk in love. You know, begin to let the agape love, the filios love, whatever, let it begin to be your fruit. That love that needs to remain from the fruit of the Spirit, the main fruit, is love. Apostle Paul said, I don't care how many testimonies, how you testify, how you prophesy, how you speak in tongues, how you all these gifts you have, but if you have not love, you're like a tinkling cymbal. So God is saying right now, let love. And then even this, 18 verse 8, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So because you are a part of me. But he said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. You know what he's trying to tell you? Remember this, that because I chose you out of this world. And so you see things being absurd. I can see even as the song was being played, saying yes to the Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. And even now, when we look at the part about the conscience being seared, we talk about those things about the scorner. We said the scorner, his conscience is seared, and he is a believer in all belief. So I look at that and I say, look at if a man wake up every morning and drink the hottest cup of coffee every morning, and that palate eventually in his tongue burns out, so he don't even know it's hot anymore. Because the conscience has been seared. It's like a hot iron has seared it. And I look at the things that we look at in the world, even on TV and the movies, how even with Tyler Perry, how sooner or later they kept putting a man in a dress, and you accept it. Sooner or later it keep being in your face, slowly but surely it's entertainment, and we're getting comfortable with it. And so now, guess what? Your conscience has been seared to what, to you, normally is not normal. In Romans 1:26-27, he said it, doing what is unseemly. So it's not seemly. It's unseemly for man. It's not what God has recommended. It's not his word. But here's what happened. We become the oddballs. We that say, hey, something not right about that. So with the same-sex marriages, they slid it in. And now to the point now you accepted the absurdity. But till you say, hey, something not right about that. But he said, all is well with the man that does not sit in that seat, does not stand there, does not walk in that council, does not agree with what Satan is putting out there. We're not in agreement with you tonight, Lucifer. We're not in agreement with those plots and plans that you. We're not in agreement with the chip that you got. We're not in agreement with you chipping our children. We're not in agreement with all the vaccines that you're doing at home. We're not in agreement with these things. We're not even in agreement with how the government has destroyed the families and separated the husband and the wife, even with Section 8 or even with the welfare. We're not in agreement because what happens is that you become the one that we yield on, and we take our eyes off God. That's why now you constantly have things in, and here's what God is saying. You slid things in, and now it's not where he said bring the food into our house, so there'll be meat in the storehouse. That's not the case anymore because we don't even have fear of the excommunication from the house of God. So since that happens, guess what? As long as the government taking me, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to worry about tithes and offering. When they say bring it into the storehouse so there'll be meat in my house. We're not worried about that. We're not saying I have to go to the church so I can be fed, or I need to go to the church so I can be handled or helped or assisted. Or if I don't live right, if my life is not living according to the law that we both meditate on day and night, if my life is not living according to Deuteronomy 28 or Leviticus when God has said this is how you should line up, if my life is not living to a point where I'm trying to pimp grace, then it's okay that I can live like a heathen. I can live like the sinner. I can live like the ungodly man. I can live like the scorner. Because guess what? God ain't coming no time. So we keep putting off when he's coming. But guess what? In Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul said in the last days. So we're looking over 2,000 years ago when they're saying perilous times will come in the last days. So if they live like the last days were coming and hear how we're living now,
that we're closer than they ever was. So when is the last days coming, and why are we not living as if the last days are coming? Because we continue to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We continue to stand in the path of sinners, and we continue to sit in the seat of the scornful. But God said the one that does not do this is blessed, like all is well. And we're saying, it is well with my soul. You can say it is well with my soul when you can say that I have been separated, I have been sanctified, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is the path of the righteous. This is the path that God has given me to take. But until you can come to that point of yourself, then you can say today, I'm not happy. I'm not at peace. I know what it's like to walk in turmoil. I know what it's in torment. I know what it's like to suffer. Like Paul said, I know what it's like to be abased, and I know what it's like to have plenty. And we walked in that area, but I know now that how to be content in all things and know how to trust God. See, at sometimes my thing was the fruit that I possessed, ladies and gentlemen, was not long-suffering. I did not possess long-suffering. And what happened was that when things came to me trusting God and he didn't move as fast as I desired or I needed him to move, Satan would get in my ear and say, hey, man, you know how to make this happen. Excuse me, why are you constantly waiting on him to do what he's not going to do? You constantly waiting. Pick up that phone, call so-and-so, and see what the price is like. Go back out there and do what you know what to do. Your family needs you. Everybody's depending on you, and you need it yourself. And so here's the thing. Instead of me waiting on God to move, I get in his way by doing my thing. But then, guess what? My fruit turns into spoiled fruit, turns into some rotten fruit. And that's what happens. But when we begin to stand on God's word and begin to trust God, ladies and gentlemen, the testimony is so amazing. I can tell you even tonight how God has begun to show his face. My wife and myself, we've been, this first quarter has been trying. But every time we feel like we're at an end, God shows up and he shows out. He moves like never before. Even now, even this day, he's moved. So we begin to thank God. We praise him and we worship him and we magnify his name for being God and God alone and God by himself. And we thank him even the more so that he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. See, here's the thing. I chose you while you was yet in your mother's womb. I ordained you and I anointed you. He told Jeremiah, I called you out to be a prophet. And I know that was told to me when my mother was pregnant with me. They said, you're pregnant with a young man, he's a prophet, and they want you to have an abortion, don't abort him. So you got people now that are saying, hey, here's the thing, here, Planned Parenthood and these abortions. But God is not with that, so we can't get an agreement with abortions. I'm telling you, I'm not a politician, but I'm trying to tell you what the word of God says. These are things we just cannot line ourselves up with. Lying, killing, stealing, even, like I said, I repent for the things that I've done. I've been a very wicked, as far as the word goes. I've been wicked in my past, but I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for sanctification. This is time to be open and be who you are. But I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free because he healed me. He delivered me. He set me free. And he chose me. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. And he talked to me like he talked to Isaiah. He said, Isaiah. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm from a people of unclean lips. And I said that tonight, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm a people of unclean lips. But how many know that God had a cherubim take some charcoal and put it on Isaiah's lips and he said, hey, now you're good. Now you're my representative. And Isaiah said after that, if the Lord needs somebody, here I am I. Oh, Lord, send me. That's what I'm saying. Lord, here am I, oh Lord, send me. I may have to cry sometime, but Lord, you know where I'll go. I may complain sometime. I may murmur, God, but Lord, you know where I'll go. And that's the mindset God is calling for tonight, that you say, hey, I need to be better. Who will go? Who will I send? Here am I, oh Lord, send me. I'm telling you. And then look at the chaff. Let's watch this. It said, the fourth verse says, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff, which the wind drives away. So I went to help you out. I went and got the definition for chaff, right? And chaff is rubbish, refuse, waste, garbage, litter, discarded matter, debris, scrap. Those are the synonyms for it. Trash, wreckage, worthless, a worthless thing. He said, but the ungodly are not so, but the ungodly to God is a worthless thing which the wind drives away. Now, do you want to be considered that in God's mind? Do you want to be considered a worthless thing to God? Do you want to be the person, that church of Laodicea, when God said, if you're lukewarm, you turn into vomit in my mouth? Do you really want that for your life? Is that the fruit that you want? Is that what you want to remain in your life? And say, I'm vomit to God. I'm garbage to God. I'm worthless to God. And I know how much that has to be so horrible, because it said in our most righteousness, we're like filthy rags. So if in your most righteousness, you're like filthy rags, then what is the wicked in God's eyesight? Ask yourself, who do you want to be in God's eyes? And who is God in your eyes? Last thing I've come to is my favorite guy, Elijah. And he said, we're in the valley of decisions. And that's why I want to end with you tonight. We're in the valley of decisions. If God be God, choose God. If Baal be God, choose Baal. But tonight, as I end this night, we're talking about your fruit remaining. We're talking about Psalms 1. We're talking about it's okay with me. I want you to know, see, because that's why it's okay with me came in, Psalm 73. It just said, it's okay with me. When I look at the right, the way of the summers, I look at how they prosper. I look at different things, even with my child. I look at different things that happen around my children's lives and around others that surround them that are not living the way that are. And my children, I can't say they're holier than thou, but they have done. It's other things they could have been doing that they did not do. And they've been trying to get that closer and closer to God. And you look at things around them, and you look at things around my wife and myself, and you can look around and you can see, until you see the way of the sinner when you step into the sanctuary. But when you look and you see with these eyes of the flesh, then you can get grievous a little bit. You can be like, well, why are they prospering? So, God, I'm the one that surrendered. I'm the one that gave up so much. I'm the one that sacrificed them, and they're not doing anything. They're doing blah, 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 blah. So you can look at these things, and you can go that way. But until you look at what happened, and the sanctuary center, and know that their way is already set. Knowing that their way, unless they come into divine intervention, unless they come to a place of repentance. But you got to look at, when we talk about the sinner, they don't even talk about repentance. The sinner is a believer in all unbelief. I mean, the scorner. So I'm sorry, here we go. But if God be God, choose God. If Baal be God, choose Baal. We're in the valley of decision. So here we are tonight. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And that's what we are. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I choose the Lord. And David said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I'm saying to you tonight, choose you this day whom you will serve. And in your serving and in your choosing, make sure that you let your fruit remain in God. Now I open it up now for you. I want to share, open up, talk, and say what's on your heart, what's on your mind. Add to, take away. You press 1, I can recognize you. But as of my living in vain, and It, you know, that's what happened. You can ask that, God, am I living in vain? Am I sacrificing in vain? Am I giving up the things of in vain? And here's what I want to tell you, too, and this is what I used to tell myself. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to go first class. I'm not going to slow boat my way to hell. I'm not going to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But when I'm going to God, and everybody's in with a testimony, pray for my soul, pray for my salvation, because I mean heaven every step of the way. How many of you want heaven every step of the way? And that's my plan, that's my desire, that's my purpose. I give you time to share with me, talk, add to it, take away, share your testimony, share how you're going to make sure that your fruit remains and that you're going to see that your God is pleased. Just press 1. I can recognize you, and I'll open up the mic for you. God bless you. We love you. Nothing you can do about it.
Can we...
8283, your mic is open.
Good evening, Pastor George, my sister Maria. It's been a minute, but I just want to say I thank God for the blog, and it's good to be back in his presence and to have your word fill me. Y'all just keep doing what you're doing, and it is food for my soul. I just thank God for you.
God to heal my body. I love you, God.
Praise the Lord. I just thank God for this word tonight. I praise him because God let us know over in Psalm 16, I think around the 36th verse or whatever. It says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them from them all. Sometimes we wonder, you see people that's not serving him, that's ungodly, and they don't seem to have any problems. They don't seem to get sick. They don't seem to lose this and lose that. But the worst thing is the losing of their soul. I praise God that Pastor Wanda and I were visiting in Donna Trent's mortuary, a family friend, and we came to go into the other two that had two rooms that had a man and a woman in them. And I'm telling you, when we went in to see the woman, it was a look of terror, of horror, all over her. And we hurried up and left there and went to the man, and it was the same thing. Now, when my loved ones have passed, even before they were taken to the mortuary, they had a smile on their face. It was a look of peace all over them. So I can only say I didn't know these individuals, but for you to die in such a horrific manner, it may be that you had an ungodly life and even in torment. But I praise God for that scripture, because I feel like the more we go through, and the reason God allows things to happen to us, because they only come to make us stronger in him. Not look to what someone else is doing and how they went through something, but to look to him who is our helper. He's our forgiver. He's our healer. He's our everything. And I praise him tonight. And I have a testimony of a week ago. A knot was found on my back, on my spine. And I went to my doc. He's also, other than blood conditions, and he is also a doctor that takes care of cancer patients. And he touched it. And when Wanda was touching it, it wouldn't move. But when he touched it, he could move it. And he said, I'm glad that I can move it, because that means it's not cancer. He said, but I want you to see a neurosurgeon, because where the location that it is on your spine, it could cause you to become permanently paralyzed. And if any other doctor than a neurosurgeon should operate on your back and just have a little small mistake, you would be permanently paralyzed from that point down. And I said, Lord, I don't want this. And I prayed. I had my prayer people praying and my family praying. And we went away on a trip too, and didn't worry about it, didn't think about it anymore. And as Pastor Wanda was putting some pain medication on my back, all of a sudden it just opened up and pus just came out of that knot that was on my back. And I said, thank you, Lord. I got medication to go on it and put Band-Aids on it, and there will still be some coming out. But, you know, I praise God so much. I called and left a message from my doctor that pus was coming out of it. And he sent some antibiotics to my drugstore that I didn't know until today. But, you know, I praise God, because he wants us to look to him. Don't worry about what an ungodly person is being blessed with, but think about what he will do for you. I know I serve him. My heart and my soul, my body says yes to the Lord. Shana Bakaya. Hallelujah. Don't be fearful when things come up against you. Hold on to that scripture in Psalms 16, 36 to 39, where he tells you that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver you from them all. Why will he deliver you? Because you're trusting in him. You've been obedient to him. You're walking according to his word and according to his way. And God bless you. I hope you're lifted up through this message, because you will be dealt with one way or the other. Choose you this day which God you got to serve, and keep serving him. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Choose you this day. I'm telling you, whom you're going to serve. And as the scripture said, we lift that scripture up even the more so. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. And when I look at that, I always, when I go inside a building, I always look for the exit sign. Because God said, hey, he will make a way of escape.
Yes.
And so I always look for the exit signs, because I know he makes a way of escape, even when it seems like you're being bombarded and things are closing in on you. God's, man, I make a way of escape. Christ has done it. I seen, even I always use the scripture with David when he had to go between the Philistines. I think it was Agag or whatever. But he just was like a madman. And that dude was like, get him out of my face. But if not, he would have killed him. But he came as a madman. God made a way of escape. Even in the cave of Adullam, God made a way of escape. So we use these things, and we use of the issues that we do have. Like I said, everyone has a beset and sin, and that's what you look at in the part of the sinner, and even ungodly. Here's what I want to share with you, and this is just me being open and transparent, is that even the godly of us have our moments sometimes we have been ungodly. And so let's be truthful with who we are. But so if that's the case, then let's not try to be continuous in that counsel of ungodly, even in our own selves. Let's deal with ourselves. That's why they say let's have self-deliverance. Let's look at the things. Sometimes it may be some things that we say or some of the thoughts that we have that could be not applicable to the biblical faith or don't tie into it. I always talk about it when I say I had a song about Let's Make a Deal, and I said, I talked about the great apostasy, which is the great falling away. And when I began to share about it, and what touched me the most was that some people lose faith when they know too little. But the crazy thing, the most absurd thing is when people lose faith when they find out too much. You know, we find out too much about the Constantinople and the Nicene Council. We find out too much about the ancient Egyptian mythology that's in Christ with the principles of Mott and different things. When we find out too much about how people are going on with Kundalini's and all these, and we find out too much about all these different religions and the bondage and all these things that come that has nothing to do with relationship with God, has nothing to do with the kingdom. And we get to find these things out, and we're like, okay, God, how do you continue to allow the leaders to continue to come forth and preach this type of message or give this type of message that is so contradictory to the biblical faith, so against the answer? But God said, I am God. And he said, even the very elect will be fooled if deemed necessary. So now you got to begin to say, on his word, don't I meditate day and night. And he told Joshua, said, meditate on his word day and night, and it will give you good success. So you got to know God for yourself. You got to be in the, you can't continue to know him as mama knew him, or big mama knew him. But you got to get here and get to know him. Get to know him and let him know you. And get that relationship built away by say, okay, I know it don't sit right, but God, if you said it, I believe it, God, and I stand on it. See, you can begin to stand on the promises of God. You begin to stand on his word when you begin to tap into who he is and who you are because of who he is. And then that's when, ladies and gentlemen, your fruit remains. That's when I can go to that tree and that fig tree that Jesus went to and he was upset because there was no figs on that tree. But when he come to you, George, when he come to you, Rose on, when he come to you, Jesse Storm, when he comes and he see that tree, it's fruit on that he can pull from. And that's what God is calling for tonight. I said it in love, brothers and sisters. I love you all. The next question, add to a point, would be none other than Evangelist Maria, thank giving us our benediction.
Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Awesome word on tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for pouring the pouring that your son poured into his people, to your people, Lord God. And we just thank you for an awesome word, an awesome message. I choose you, Lord. I choose you. Lord, we just thank you for the message. Lord, I ask that you bless each and every person that's on this line. God, we thank you for the blessings and the miracles, God, that you're performing. We thank you for your word reaching others, Lord, through this thing we call technology, Father. And we just ask that you continue to bless those that are here and those that are hearing. Lord, we just give you the glory, honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Until next Thursday, we will see, well, we won't see you, but we hope to hear from you on next Thursday, same time. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Have an awesome, awesome week. In Jesus' name, amen.